words sink in on that one, huh? How'd that go at the beginning? I'm nothing without Him. You ever just sit in church sometimes and let that soak in? I think we get in this journey after a while and we start thinking how good we are. And then they use that word, how good He's been. And that's our word today in the fruit of the Spirit. I'm amazed at how many times now I read my Bible and I see those 9 fruit of the Spirit used in other contexts when Paul addresses each church and so on and so forth. Don't ever get to the place, or I warn you to not ever get to the place where you think you're something. It's by His grace we are what we are today. Amen. Strip God off of you and you're just like the rest of everybody else out there. Don't ever sit around, look at social media or the news or anything else and think, oh my goodness. No, you ought to just thank the Lord. Just pause for a moment and say, thank you, Lord. I could be that and a whole lot worse. Amen. Amen. Galatians chapter 5. I want to read a few verses of Scripture, continue our series on the fruit of the Spirit. I don't want to go too fast today. You'll understand when we get into this. Galatians chapter 5, how about we start where we always have in verse 16. Paul telling this church at Galatia, he said, "This I say then," he's clarifying himself, "this I say then, walk," capital W, "in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There you go. Sam's coming to the piano. You know, it's amazing to me, I'm not saying this to you, it's amazing to me how very clear Scripture is in its commands to us, but how much we struggle with doing it. And it is very hard to even complete the task. And therefore, God knew that, and He says, I'll help you, I'll give you a helper. Brother Jake touched on it. He used the Greek word Wednesday, Paracletes. Or was it Jacob Cook Sunday night? Either one of them used that Greek word. It is a companion that comes up beside of you. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He doesn't come upside of you like Jesus did with the disciples. He's inside of us. He's a very present help in a time of need. And so He gives us a very simple command, walk in the Spirit. And guess what? When you do, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So the conclusion is, if you're in the flesh a lot of times, guess what you're not doing? You're not walking in the Spirit. You're just kind of, and I'm not saying that to you, we are just kind of doing it our own way. And it becomes very evident around us, becomes very evident with others around us. And we just, a lot of times, make the excuse in a church. A lot of times we just say, well, that's just so-and-so. We even give, instead of coming around to verse 1 of chapter 6, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual. Well, that's for the pastor. I know so-and-so's shot out, but that pastor's, that's his responsibility. That's why we give him a paycheck. No. If a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one. Get that person walking the same way. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit. Listen to the terminology He uses here. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, obviously, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. The natural man, it's natural for them to lust after things. Ladies, I didn't leave you out. It's either man or woe man. It's all inclusive. The natural man just lusts after everything. They're just led around by their flesh. Whatever little happy little thing they want to do. But it's contrary. The Spirit says, no. I've said to everybody in my family, not that I haven't said it to myself, I've said it to everybody in my family when they were coming up. If you'd listen to the Spirit, you'd have no need of me. And I say this as a pastor. If you'd listen to the Spirit, there would be no need of me. Can you imagine we just came to church and we all just walked in the Spirit? Can you just, for a moment, oh, pastor, now come on now. This is just, I can understand it out there. What I grapple with sometimes is in here. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us, Michael. And it can't control us. Although the seasons are fighting God now, whether it's going to be spring really or whether it's going to be winter, guess what? Guess what overrides? God says all four seasons will continue as planned. And so they will succumb to it. The tulips are going to come up. The flowers are going to bloom. All of that. Why? Because a sovereign God put it in motion. That same sovereign God, Michael, lives inside of you and I. And yet he can't execute his plan some days. Isn't that crippling? Isn't that convicting to anybody else? Does anybody else just sit there some days and say, man, what in the world? And Lamentations tells us, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, for his compassions fail not, and his mercies are new every day. God, I really made a mess of that one yesterday. Well, guess what? I gave you a basket of mercy today, and my compassions will fail not. Get up, dust yourself off. A righteous man falleth seven times, yet riseth again. Get up and do something with your life. And that's the message every week, every Sunday. Sam's coming to the piano. We're going to get up and do something with our lives this week. Man, Pastor, come on now. We have to. We have a responsibility, not to God. We have a responsibility to this world. And we have this what? Hope in earthen vessels that God would indwell us crippled from birth and transform us so that somebody else could see not God in the flesh, but God in the Spirit changing the flesh so that we can see there is a God that lives and people can say, I want that God. He says, verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness. As we're reading these real quickly, just ask yourself, have I done any of these this week? And you say, man, I can't. In the church? Oh, yeah. Has anybody watched nowadays? They got websites now. They've got podcasts. They've got everything highlighting how bad the church walks in the flesh and literally giving them a crutch so that they don't think they need to come to God. We're giving them an excuse. We're giving them a reason not to come to God, because we that have come to God fail Him and don't make any allocations for it other than that's just how it goes. It's amazing to me, and I'm not trying to drag stuff up. It's amazing to me. Week after week, the things that I see preachers, pastors, evangelists, missionaries, church members do. I grew up on a bar stool. It just scares the fire out of me sometimes. And then I say, but we have the Spirit of God living inside of us. Why aren't we different? Paul, that was Paul's whole message in 1 and 2 Corinthians. I pulled you out of this. Come out from among them. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you unto myself. He's calling the Corinthian church. Ecclesiology, ecclesiastical. That word, ecclesia, the church, is a called out body of believers. And transform with the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God. Yet rub shoulders with most church members nowadays, you couldn't tell the difference. These are the works of the flesh, are manifest: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Said even the other ones that are close in proximity or synonymous with, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, watch this now, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit, here's the contrary that fights against or battles against the flesh. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Those are as convicting to read as the other ones. The other ones we say, oh my, I can't believe I did that. These we read and we say, oh my, why didn't I do that? Meekness, temperance, Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified, study that out, crucified the flesh, hung it on full display. We do it in a baptismal pool, basically. We make a declaration that I'm Christ. I'm no longer my own. I've died to self. And the preacher or whoever baptized stands up there and says, upon your public declaration of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my brother, sister, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, buried with Him in baptism, Romans chapter 6, raised to walk in newness of life. Because you don't have to be in bondage to that anymore. We're saved from that. We are saved from the penalty of sin at Calvary. We're saved from the power of sin in the indwelling presence. We don't have to sin. We will, because in this flesh doeth no good thing. But we will never be sinless, but we ought to sin less. And then at the resurrection or at the rapture, then we're what? We're saved from the presence of sin. Don't even have to be around it anymore. Isn't that wonderful? And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. If you're saved, then act it, basically, right? Isn't that what the admonition is? Let us not be desirous of vainglory, that we've done this on our own. Look at me. And boy, isn't the Baptist realm ate up with this. Look at me. Look at me. Look at what I don't do. I don't cuss and chew or hang around with those that do. Look at me. And then ate up with just self. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, I could stop there. We've read the nine fruit of the Spirit. We've given us some context. But I want to put some context to the context in our next journey down this path. Why? What is it just enough to be indwelt with the Spirit of God? Isn't that wonderful? Wow, look at me. I'm indwelt with the Spirit of God. Man, I have the ability not to go down those paths that I used to go down before, right? And we just get all caught up in that. And that in itself is a wonderful thing. Listen, I'm glad. When they were singing that song, I'm glad I don't. Man, it was a miserable life. A lot of times, I don't know, you get older and you start, memory lane kicks in, man. And you start getting church services sometimes, and I've not forgotten what it was like to be lost. And I sit there and say, wow, wonderful. Man, and if you're not careful, you make the church this little sanctuary that you're immune from everything else until you have to go out there. And then what are you going to do? Go out there? Are we going to move the compound to Millersburg? No. We're not going to move the compound to Millersburg. We're going to take it and move it out there and act it. You say, where's that in context? I'm glad you asked. Verse 1. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, he's speaking to the church. Ye which are spiritual, restore. See, we think that verse means they've fallen flat on their face and they're out of church. And we're going to go knock on their door and we're going to get them back in church. Can I say this? The average person comes to church needing to be restored. That's why there's an invitation. Restored from what? The fellowship that you broke this week walking in the flesh. Nobody in here walked in the Spirit all week. That's why we ought to assemble, and even more so as we see the day approaching. I don't know about you, it's getting really dark out there. And I'm going to tell you what, you can't get on a highway. Maybe if you have my personality, you can't get on a highway anywhere without wanting to punch somebody in the throat. Why? Manufacturers or car companies need to quit using blinkers. They need to make them obsolete on a vehicle anymore. Or speed limit signs or anything, or the grocery store, common courtesy. We are a post-Christian civilization. That's why and we're so upset. We think the change of it comes in a political candidate. The Constitution is over with because the Constitution was designed for a godly people. We're not a godly people. Why do we need a Constitution? We don't ever think about that. We're just looking for who the next midterm and who the next politician can get my things that I'm curious about into action instead of being indwelt with the Spirit of God and helping one another. And if a person be, I've noticed me as a pastor, I've gotten to the place where I don't want to do it anymore. Just simple little things where you go to, I was talking to my wife, I'll give a personal illustration with my wife. I said something to her the other day, she got her knickers in a wad. And I said to her, we've been married for 38 years. You think I'm just saying these things to harass you? You think I'm saying it to pick on you? I'm saying it because we are a unit. We're a picture of Christ and the bride. And therefore, both of us are synonymous with one another, and we want to help one another. I remember Joe was in my office one time, and I said to Joe, Joe, in all the years you've known me, you ever seen me say something to hurt somebody? It's to help somebody. But yet, how often do we do that? The average church member sees what somebody else is doing, does nothing about it. It hurts the body. That's why he's indwelt us. When Jesus was walking with his disciples, he was constantly helping them. Oh, ye of little faith. He said, I'll tell you what, the Mike Levitt translation, you're going to get it sooner or later. You're going to figure it out sooner or later. You're going to get on board. Now when he comes, he'll bring you into all truth. We can't do it by ourselves. John 14, when they're troubled, goes right into John 15 where he says to them to abide. He says, I'm the vine, you're the branches. He said, you got to abide in me. If you don't abide in me, you're not going to have any fruit. And the fruit is what's going to change. How did 11 men turn the world upside down? And Graham Road Baptist Church can't even really... A gnat on a windshield makes more impact than Graham Road Baptist Church in the community we live in. Is the days of Akron Baptist Temple where 10,000 people came to... Well, preacher, come on now. Do you see how dark it is? I've always heard that the light shines brighter in darkness. See, all of that fruit of the Spirit leads to one thing. That ye which are spiritual restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering now selfless, so also be tempted. What was the mission? What was the goal in the military? Whatever branch you served in? It's all of us get there, right? Brother Mike? Brother John, if we're in a Volks march, we're going to grab somebody's rifle. We're going to grab somebody's backpack. We're going to help them. We're going to help them to get on that path because we have a mission. We've forgotten what the mission is. Mission's others. The indwelling presence of the Spirit of God is not for you to eat the fruit thereof. I started out the whole series with a tree does not consume its own fruit. It is therefore on the branch for others to partake in. How much of these nine fruit this week did somebody else get to partake in this week? If a man be overtaken in fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Tempted to what? Battle with the flesh and the spirit. I succumb to this. I mean, you ever get around people, they sin so much, or you see other people sin, and you go, well, mine doesn't matter. I've heard people literally say that. As a defense in their sin. Well, so-and-so sinned. We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to give an account of our own selves. But it seems like if somebody else does, wasn't that propensity in the Volks March if one got out? You know when one got out, what it caused you to do? Your foot hurt worse. I don't know if anybody's ever done Volks Marches, Brother Andrew, where my feet bled. Bled. And they're aching and they hurt and everything. And you're sitting around, that one got out and you're going. And if you see them as somebody superior to you, then you'll go, then you all of a sudden sit there, you forget spiritual realm now, that's the flesh, now the spiritual realm. You see somebody get out of church that you deem more spiritual than you, you're giving more credence to their walk than the Spirit of God that lives inside of you. Goliath looked at the little Jewish boy and said, why, what was the term he used? David said that, I come to you, and then why come to you? He called him a little dog or something, didn't he? What did Goliath call David? It's a little nothing, he just nothing. David said, no, you don't understand the God that I serve. And so here we are in this little competitive mode instead of what? Encouraging, helping one another is what I'm trying to say. I lost my page. Where was I? Galatians what? 5, 6. Bear ye one another's burdens, so fulfill the law of Christ. We're to help one another. Where someone's down, somebody else picks them back up. And what? For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another, for every man shall bear his own burden. What's that mean? You get to a place where the person teaches you, hey, you need to rely on God. He lives in you. He helps you. He abides within inside of you. Let's see how far we can get today. Maybe a little different than just reading another fruit and just giving a definition for it. Father, we'd ask you to help us this morning, I plead. Let it not be just another church service. Let it not be just another sermon in the series. But let it be a moment where we see the soberness of the moment and the need for this truth. And we awake to righteousness and sin not. Why? Because some have not the knowledge of God. And that knowledge will not necessarily come from a book on a shelf. It'll come from a body, a temple indwelt with the Holy Spirit. Walking about people, being the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Help us understand that concept this morning, I plead in Christ's name. This morning we move forward to the next produce regarding the fruit of the Spirit. Before we do, and I can't say this enough, as I study this truth out, this has to be, and I'm up for a challenge, this has to be, in my personal opinion, the next greatest spiritual aspect in Scripture second to salvation. Let that sink in for a minute. Salvation, the theme of Scripture is the Savior. But what about the Savior? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. We see that whole redemptive story in there. After the New Testament that He's come, and here's where so many churches get off today, it's the means justify the end. The candy canes and the sugar stores and the glimmer and glam and the TVs and all the little things, Easter egg hunts and all that, that's the means to the end, right? Salvation. We're just going to do whatever we can do to win somebody to Christ. Well, then He comes and He saves somebody, then what? If salvation's the end of the road, then let's all line up somewhere and ask for the next chariot of fire to go to heaven. No, we're left here for what? For a purpose. For a purpose that somebody else might see. I got to see God through Rodney Pruitt. Wounded as much as I could possibly have been. Wounded, but I had so much animosity towards anything that was religious or anything. And I got to see. How did that happen? Because God saved him. And then there was another aspect to it. There was an indwelling presence of God so that God who had come, dwelt among man, and then received up. Great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the Spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, received up into glory, and believed on in the world. How do people come to know Christ today? Because of you and I pointing them to Him. We've been transformed by the Word of God. Messages are not knowledge only. It's not just information. It's transformation. If we don't understand that, then the next 100 years are for naught. We've been placed here not only for information for the world around us, but for transformation. And you can come and you can see how that information transformed us. As I study this truth out, this has to be the next greatest spiritual aspect in Scripture, second to salvation. Salvation is God's, watch this now, redemptive purchase of us. He redeems us. He purchases us back. And all need that. If you're in here this morning, you're not saved, you need that. You may not even realize how much you need that. The devil, the god of this world, possibly has blinded you from the fact that you need that. And we're here as salt and light to show you that you can be, and you need to be transformed. Because there is a judgment coming and you are at enmity with God. And if you don't get saved, it's not good. That is His redemptive purchase of us. However, the indwelling Spirit of God and the fruitfulness of the child of God is God's reclaimed purpose of us. He has a redemptive purpose, a purchase rather. He buys us. How did he buy us? What did he buy us with? His life. His life. God said, the only way I'm going to redeem mankind back to myself from what I intended from the beginning, and they were deceived, is for me to go and show them and pay for them. And we see that story through the Old Testament. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Redemptive purchase. The first Adam, all have sinned. The second Adam, all can be saved. Redemptive purchase. Then we see him indwell us with his Spirit. That's his reclaimed purpose. Many may not like realizing this, but at one time, and I kind of do it every once in a while, I mention it. Kara, do you remember? Remember when you came here? Absolute dumpster fire train wreck. And some will listen to that and go, I can't believe the pastor said that to them. I don't think she needs to know that. But we forget sometimes how bad we were. Even in the eyes, well, I wasn't that bad. I mean, he makes it seem like I was just, well, how do I need to make it seem when you're lost? Far from the promises of God. Whether you grew up on a church pew or whether you grew up in a bar, if you don't know God, it's the same hell. Now, there might be levels to it. I'm not really sure about that. I know it said of Judas, he went to his own place, so that lets me know there's more than one place there. And I know this from scriptural teaching, if he's the Antichrist, he's the opposite of God, and there are, can I just say this, levels, if you will. There's rewards and so on and so forth. Promotions, I don't know what you want to call them. I'm absent of the biblical word in heaven. Then is there the same over in hell? Is there rewards for how evil you were versus rewards for how spiritual you were? I don't want to know that. So whether you grew up on a bike, in a bar, or in a Baptist church, it's the same hell. And so there's a reclaimed purpose. God wants to use your life to reclaim somebody else. Isn't that wonderful that he'd do that? Many may not like realizing this, but at one time we were the child of the devil, and the Bible says this, and did the lusts of our father. I'm not going to get through the message today, I'm sure. I put this in parentheses. Let that sink in for a moment. And it may just change your approach to church today. And for that matter, life this coming week. That God can help you today. Draw attention to Him dwelling inside of you and the nine fruit of the Spirit. Because tomorrow at your work, there might be somebody there that needs love. There might be somebody there that everybody else has snapped at them. Everybody else has not been patient with them. And then all of a sudden they get, you ever been in a checkout before and something happened like that? And all of a sudden that person say, I have a habit when I, whoever I call because of the stuff that I do with my mother-in-law or any number of things, I have a moment, and so many businesses have gotten to this. Pete's sprinkler system, Janet, how can I help you? And then I'll say this, hello, Janet, how are you doing today? Do you ever notice people just, is anybody else besides me that they like, well, I'm doing fine, thank you for asking. We've gotten away from that. And so I say today, God brought you here to hear a spiritual truth so that you could depart from here and in your deportment out there, bring that person to him, Michael. The indwelling presence of God can manifest itself in such a way to impact and change somebody's life out there. And we only think that can happen sometimes in church, and when we don't see it happen in church very often, then we just start thinking, well, we're just going through the motions. Somebody needs God's love. God is love. How will God's love be demonstrated to them? You. joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. All of those things are an attribute of God given to us through in the Spirit of God and should be manifested in our life. Why? For us? For somebody else. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore. How do you restore somebody in the spirit of meekness? With the Spirit of God. Is it clicking? Now having been redeemed, we now have a reclaimed purpose, and that is to glorify our Father who redeemed us, giving us a new purpose. Paul stated that to those believers in Corinth. Sometimes that'll impact you so much that guess what it'll do? It'll cause you to put everything you own in a 40-foot container and travel halfway across the world. Sometimes it'll impact you so much after you've been to the other side of the world, you'll come back to this side of the world, and it'll impact you to live in a four-season state. That as soon as spring comes, you start ticking the days off until fall and winter hit in. You say, that's ridiculous. No, why do you think so many people go to Florida and Arizona? It'll impact you to that point. It'll impact you to be a little long-suffering on the job. There's so many Christians I know will move jobs, which you don't know how hard it is for me at the job I'm at. No, I know how hard it was for Moses in Egypt. First Corinthians 6 and verse 20 gives us a new purpose. Paul stated that to the believers in Corinth. Verse 6, or verse 20 of chapter 6, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, God and I have had conversations about this before, about Ohio. And God said, here's the contrary. You can either go and do my will, or you cannot and be out of it. We struggle. We've had many conversations about that. And it all comes to the same conclusion. It seems like you want your way and not me getting mine. Buddy, can I get an amen? That new purpose now is to be used by Him to bring others, or should I say all, unto Him. That's what happened to us. Someone was used by Him to see Him in them and therefore bring us to Him. And thus the same should be with us as well. He does that through the indwelling presence of His Spirit, which produces the fruit of His Spirit. When you and I see that and understand that, then the goal becomes yielding. It becomes abiding. It becomes, was it Colossians where he said, we put off and we put on? We put off all these things that are not conducive to the Spirit of God. You know, a lot of people battle with preferences over principles, and we say of this new emerging church, we shouldn't argue the preferences. No, they're not arguing. It isn't an argument of the preferences. When I put off the old man and I put on the new man, it's a stark difference. It doesn't look the same, nor should it be the same. We're trying to use a means to justify the end. Well, we just want to get them saved. I don't want to just get people saved. I want them to walk in newness of life, in victory over those things. When you and I see that and understand that, then the gold becomes yielding, abiding, putting off us and putting on Him. Whatever term you may see from Scripture, it becomes the mission, the drive, if you will. A person who doesn't see that is a person who is consumed with self rather than the Savior. What was at one time lost? Think about that. Get your head around that. You were lost at one time. You were darkness at one time. You were fleshly at one time. You were lustful, lasciviousness, consumed. The list goes on in this passage of Scripture. Consumed with what? Self. Then all of a sudden, it's just like the Gadarene demoniac. They didn't have a problem with the Gadarene demoniac cutting himself, chained in the tombs, night and day, everything going on. But I'm going to tell you what, once he got clothed in his right mind, then all of a sudden there was a problem. You notice that nowadays? We were consumed with self. Has now we that know Him have been purchased, and not just purchased, but indwelt. God put Himself in us. He lives inside of us, Michael. And some days you have such a problem. Why? I'm walking in the flesh. And can I say this to the younger people in here? Come to Christ as quick as you can. I had a bad day yesterday. My mind went to places I don't even want to. Just had a lot of childhood trauma yesterday, bad. And I just sat there, and it was like a reminder. And I just, man, I mowed. I got outside. I was trying to get my mind where it needed to be, because that's the tool of the devil, isn't it? And I said all that to say this: Noah, you're saved, right? Right? Been baptized? We got to get there. I'm glad you're saved. It's like I said to Violet the other day. You know, you get concerned, Violet. You see her smiling today? Ain't lost a smile. You know when she'll lose a smile? When somebody else takes it off her face. She'll lose it when somebody else takes it off her face, whether at the home, whether in out there, or whether here. There's a lot of people we're going to meet in heaven that are saved, didn't go to church, because somebody in here, instead of restoring them, they rebuked them and they got out there. Where was I at before I went there? I was over here. Where? Noah. I don't want to call somebody out that isn't saved. You are going to be a whole lot further on down the road than some of us that came later in life. Because he watched us, and he knows just how to get us. He knows just what to do, the trigger, the scab, the wound, the whatever. I mean, I walk around with scars and wounds. And every one of them, when you get, anybody else, anybody? That elbow, John, and you start thinking. And then all of a sudden, what do you start thinking about when that hurts? When you did it. Same way in the spiritual realm. The devil loves nothing more to seek, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life, not just life. Not just eternal life, but life more abundantly. Your life will be more abundant, Noah, because you weren't all in that. Same hell, same heaven, but the journey here is going to be a whole lot better. When you and I see that and understand that, then the goal becomes yielding, abiding, putting off us, putting on Him, whatever the term you may see, becomes a mission, the drive of your will. A person who doesn't see that is a person who is consumed with self rather than the Savior. At one time we were lost, darkness, fleshly, lustful, lascivious, consumed with self. We have now been purchased and indwelt to now be made purposeful in fulfilling God's will. Now you have a purpose. You can change somebody's life. Rahab was in the genealogy of Christ. Mary was in the genealogy of Christ. Bathsheba was in the genealogy of Christ. I want to say this concerning this study specifically, but each and every study or message from this pulpit. These are not just messages to acquaint us with scriptural terms to be more knowledgeable in things, but rather understanding of our purpose, yielding ourselves to that purpose, and becoming more useful to Him in that purpose. We can better understand that from reading what Paul explained to the church at Galatia and Ephesus in his beginning words before he ever teaches them about the fruit that God will produce through us when we yield ourselves to Him. We all need to understand that. I would love every time to come in and read all of Galatians and all of Ephesians and then go to the context of that passage of Scripture. That's why I hope you're not in here saying the next word's goodness. Is he ever going to get there? No, I want it to soak in. Can I just say after 30 years of preaching, gospel ministry weekly preaching, it gets weary sometimes because you sit there. Have you young men noticed it? You preach your lungs out, and then you sit there and you watch people in their deportment, and you sit there and go, you're both of those messages, that one with chastisement, despise not chastening, that has absolutely changed how I look at it. Chastening for me is always being getting taken out to the woodshed. Chastening can be some of the most simple little things. I was expressing it to him this morning. He's walking to the car. Samuel's a few feet behind him. He can turn around and say, Samuel, come on, catch up. That's chastening. It's something just as simple as that. And how does he do it? God chastens us with the Spirit of God. And what are we supposed to do with other people? Can I use the term? What was the term for that, chastening? You said it this morning. Huh? No, chastening, not scourging. You said they're two different. Chastening was what? Tutorage. I tell you what, Mike and Emily have been chastening Lizzie. It's not chastening as we think of it, beating somebody half to death. It's just tutorage. Come on. This is the way. Walk ye in it. And you can preach. Have you experienced it yet? You preach your lungs out about it, and all of a sudden, blank stares. I'm just here for the entertainment. I'm just here for the music. I'm just here for getting a little more Bible knowledge so I can know a little bit more about God. Not do anything with it. Ephesians 2, chapter 1, one of the greatest chapters in the Bible, Ephesians. You talk, tell you, Libby and I have been this thing. Brother Miller, I don't know how you do it, and I wish yours would get over sooner than mine. This whole thing trying to resolve the inheritance. Not that there's anything there, but just resolve the whole process of it. Has just been taken, it just takes forever. This whole weekend, last week, when does it end? That's a worldly inheritance. Chapter 1 is a heavenly inheritance. And you just read all those things that we have in God. And they ought to cause us, when we come to church, be a little excited when they sing about them. I mean, I'll tell you what, if somebody contacted you tomorrow and said, I don't know if you know this, but Aunt Goofy whatever, I'm trying to think of a name. You can't throw names out because in church people say, you think he was shading me on that one? So Aunt Goofy, Uncle Creepy, whatever it is, gets a phone call tomorrow. And I don't know if you knew this, but you were the named inheritor of X amount of such and such. You'd get off that phone, man. You'd go down to Lambert's. You'd go down to Walmart. You'd go somewhere. You'd just rejoice in it. Now God reads us the inheritance in Ephesians chapter 1. Then he gets to chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Wherein in time past, this goes right hand in hand, wherein in time past, he says, ye walked according to the course of this world. Now he said, you walk that way. He says, now this I say then, walk in the Spirit. This is how you used to walk. I gave you all this. I called you. I filled you. I've done all this. He said, this I say then, walk in the Spirit. Wherein in time past, ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all, he said, listen, it just ain't you. Paul's even saying it. He's using not personal pronouns, he's using inclusive pronouns. He says, I'm including myself into this. Wherein, watch this, where did I leave off? Verse 3, among whom also we all, he said, me too. I was in that too. Even though I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews and this, that, and the other thing, according to the law, spotless, he said, that's where I was. He says, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lusts of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind. He says, and were by nature the children of wrath, everything I've already said, even as others, you're not any better than anybody else. You have within you the propensity to do good or evil. Before God indwelt you, all you had in you was the propensity to do evil. So don't ever look at anybody else. But God, verse 4, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. For by grace are you saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Verse 10 is where I want. For we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. And what are those good works? They are ordained that we should walk in Him. And what are they? They're the fruit of the Spirit. They're little things, Christ-like behaviors that we do that only we can do them because of His indwelling presence to bring somebody else to Him. Now let me bring that full circle with what we have looked at already and emphasize again. These are not studies to just say we studied the Bible. I honestly don't want to move forward some days until we have grasped, and that's what I'm doing today, until we have grasped what we have already looked at. These are truths to transform us from what we were to what He desires us to be for His glory and for God and mankind's good. Your family needs this. Somebody in your social circle needs this. What do they need, preacher? They need your proof of the indwelling presence of the Spirit of God, manifesting the fruit of the Spirit, because they need love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. They need that. In this world of complete chaos and confusion, they need that. And the only place they're going to get it is from you. Let that sink in for a minute. By God's grace and mercy, He saved us from us. He was the potter, we the clay. Useless mud, if you will. He placed us on the wheel of His will and began to form us into what He desired. He placed His Spirit in us because He knew we were incapable in and of ourselves to accomplish the task, let alone any task. Now do you see why it's futile? Now I'm not saying don't pursue a livelihood. But the livelihood isn't the mission. The livelihood is the means to fund the mission. The mission is for you to glorify God in your body. Brother Andrew, the mission wasn't to get to E7, E8. What are you now? E7. Weren't you an E8? Or weren't you? Not past tense. Huh? What wasn't the who's the one? Didn't you just get one? You just got E7? I thought you got masters. I thought you were up for master sergeants. Okay, anyways. That's not the goal. The goal is for you to be instructive for those other people. And what's the mission? Keep our country safe. The mission for us is not to, man, look at me. Look at how, man, I don't smoke. Did I tell anybody I don't smoke anymore? I was just at a restaurant the other day. They tried to sit me by the bar, and I said, if you don't mind, I'm 33 years sober. 33? Have I told you I'm 33 years sober? Never even had it touch my lips again. And I was caught in the bondage of it. DUI, weekend warrior. Am I bragging about that? That's what I was. AA meetings, functional alcoholic. Got saved. How did that happen? Well, I just got a book. Started reading the book, 12 Steps to Not Being a Drunkard Anymore. No. By faith, I bowed my wretched head. Said, God, I can't do this anymore. Rodney says, faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Rodney said, you came so that I could live. Best I know how, I'm going to ask you to do that. I give my life to you. And all of a sudden, I saw three angels with trumpets. No, I did feel a weight, a relief. Then I just picked up my Bible and started reading what it said. Have I failed? Oh, my goodness. Haven't drank again, thank goodness. Probably done a few of the other ones. And then I found that if we confess our sins, He's faithful. He's faithful and just. Before you get to verse 9, though, it says this. Oh, what was that verse I had this morning? No, it was after that. 1 John 3 and verse, 12? I got to read this. 1 John 3, this one was wonderful. I'm just giving a devotion today. 1 John 3, where are you at? Is it 12? Am I even in the right book? 1 John 3. No, verse 2. Verse 1. Behold, that word means look. Looky, looky. That's basically what that means. What manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us. Let this settle in real quick. That we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There's no mistaking Lydia is Jacob Cook's daughter. There's no mistaking Wesley Cook is Jacob Cook's son. There should be no mistaking that you are a child of God. How do people notice that? By your attributes. And what are the attributes? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faith, meekness, temperance. I won't get through it. I'll give you this. We'll be done. He was the potter. We the clay. Useless mud. He placed us on the wheel of his will, Jeremiah 18, and began to form us into what he desired. He placed his spirit in us because he knew we were incapable in and of ourselves to accomplish the task, let alone any task. Each of us has a task. Missions conference coming around the corner is not a moment for us to give money for somebody else to go. It's for us to give money to be a part of us and them going together. The word missions and missionary are not even mentioned in the Bible. I've said that numerous times. Some people have even been bothered by me saying that as I preach missions conferences. I'll tell you two words that are. Minister and ministry. And Paul articulated that clearly in 1 and 2 Corinthians. We're all ministers of the gospel. And we should all be involved in ministry. Not just Sunday morning to hear a message. Boy, wasn't that wonderful. Man, that made me feel better. Can I say this? While you feel better about a message on a Sunday morning, there's somebody out there that's hanging on for dear life. Hanging on for dear life. And they need you that are saved to be full of the Spirit and manifest, just be a conduit for God's love to flow through you. His joy, His peace. I've told Mike before, as a police officer, we used to be called what? What we used to be called, Brother Mike? Peace officers. I was in it at the time we were peace officers. You know, you change a tire, you Barney Fife, basically what you are. You wave and you do this kind of, they gave me more than one bullet, but they you know, you stop and you help somebody, you get the cat out of the tree, you get the, you know, you, the old lady across the street. Now they're combat officers. Flak vests and everything going on, and they can't help. No, Mike, I'm not throwing you on, I'm just, I was one. Now it's just, everything's combat. Come to a situation. In a situation that's falling apart, he ought to walk up on the scene and what? We expect a police officer to calm the situation. Can I say this of the child of God? My wife, has anybody met my wife? Man, she can get something and all of a sudden. And I sit there and I go, what? And I have to, you have to. That's what we're supposed to do. Mike, have you ever calmed the situation at lunchtime when you're doing that versus the road? Or how about when they're leaving school or coming to school? I used to deliver snacks at schools for Lance snack machines, and I had my delivery route was at the time they dropped off. What's your point, preacher? Not by a show of hands, but by a show of hearts. You're saved in here, and you know God has saved you without a shadow of a doubt. Don't lift your hand, just lift your heart. That's me. Preacher's talking to me. I've been saved. With that came his spirit, capital S. Ours was dead. Now some are alive, but they're alive to evil things. We call that the Pandora's box. Everybody remember Pandora's box? Can I say how many parents, and I'm wrapping up. Can I say how many parents, how much damage you've done to your children? By all of a sudden they get to a certain age and you go, look what mommy and daddy got you. We're going to put games on it for you. and all other different little things. And then all of a sudden, a child would take that device and do something evil with it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, Mr. Sinner. He's just little sinner. I'm not referring to you two. And then you take it, and the heart is desperately wicked. You know when we could really have some revival? Grab some of y'all's phones. And I ain't just talking about the teenagers. Just grab some of y'all's phones and see what you do all day long. And what happens is, God wants that spirit, to him that knoweth to do good, James said this, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Your child, when it gets to a certain point, I remember this, I was newly saved. When Cody got to a place, or Joshua, so Cody's not embarrassed, when Mama came in to give him a towel and he said, Mommy! He knew sin. Why? Because he knew he was naked. Who told you you were naked? That's how it happened with Adam, right? Didn't want to. The child, you ever seen any of them in our church? They'll be walking along, and all of a sudden they'll stop, and that leg will kick out a little further. Then they'll just stand there and they'll look around. You know what's going on, don't you? What's going on, Alicia? They're what? What? Hold on, let me get that on mic. Hold on, what are they doing? Oh my goodness. Then there's that moment where they go to the bathroom. They're starting to understand things. I don't know what age that is. It happens differently with each person. But to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. From that moment, they need to be brought to Christ. Before that moment, here's what Mom did. And you have to quicken. He quickened our spirit. At 27 years of age, that happened to me. It was a little too late. But then we give them these things and then we run around with them and then they start the journey on their own. It's the Pandora's box that gets opened up and then all of a sudden, Mike probably preaches his lungs out. The youth camps preach their youngs out. What are they doing? They're trying to keep that young person away from Pandora's box. And all the things that Pandora... Oh, no, I'll be fine. I'll be fine. I'll do it. I'm going to be okay with it. I got controls. I got everything. And then iPhone. I found this out the other day. iPhone's got a little private setting where you can search the internet on private mode. Nobody will catch me in that mode. And so you know what God did, who was rich in his mercy? Saved us out of that and then implanted the Spirit of God in us so that we could now walk out of church and somebody needs love, we're going to give them that love. See, you can't say it's a bad day for you. The pressure, can I say this as a pastor? The pressure of always being there at the top of your game. Because the one moment you're not loving, I'm going to that other church. Pastor didn't even shake my hand today. He didn't know how much I needed. My hand shook today. You might not realize how much he needed his hand shook. We're in this together. And God had given you that spirit for you to be loving, joyful, peaceful, long-suffering, gentle, good, faithful, meek, and temperate so that somebody could come to Christ. When's the last time personally you had somebody come to Christ because of you and your partnership with God? That ought to be convicting. So I challenge you this morning, don't walk out of here like you came in. Walk out of here understanding I have the capability. You were just driving. You ever just drive down the road and you just lose it? Not you, but you. Because you don't have yours yet. But she does. Right? Probably the best thing. Mark, you probably never. Nobody ever cut in front of you as a on your motorcycle. Don't cut in front of me on a motorcycle. I'm going to lose it. And then after you lose it, you go down the road and you go, what? Why did I just lose it? Because that's the chastening hand of God. He sits there and goes, why did you lose it? I gave you the ability and the power not to lose it. And you lost it. And then isn't it wonderful how the Bible just works together? And then it says, well, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just. Now, I'm not going to continue to do that same mistake. I'm going to say, you know, because then that's the Lord's Supper, right? We forget that we bring that to the table again. How many people, be honest, don't lift your hand, lift your heart. How many Lord's Suppers you come to and you go, Here I am again. Here I am again. God, when's this ever going to change? And he's going to say, I'll tell you when it's going to change. When you abide in me and I in you, when my spirit can flow freely through you and you just allow me to transform you. Man, that's hard. It sure is. But it's possible. That's why we have invitations. That's why we have preaching. That's why we have all the atmosphere for it, Sunday school, the sanctuary, all that stuff that is becoming a thing of the past. And pretty soon it won't be anymore. But let me say this. Even when there wasn't, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah walked with God without the Spirit of God indwelling them. And if they can do it, you and I can. Father, we'd ask you to help us. Help this not just be another study in a series, but help us to understand as we read the Bible, Lord, as I read it, I see these words, goodness and meekness and temperance and love and joy and peace. All the letters that Paul addressed to the churches, he started out with those words. And they are a constant reminder that we have inside of us hope. And that hope is the Spirit of God that indwells us and aids us and helps us, not only for ourselves, but for somebody else. Help us to grasp that this morning. As we embark into the next 100 years, help us to not forget that. And help us to realize we are a city set upon a hill. And that light should shine to our community that there's a place that they can find God and get help. Help us, I plead this morning. If somebody in here doesn't know you as Savior, I pray you draw them to yourselves. You said if you be lifted up, you draw men unto yourself. God, I pray I've lifted you up in the Word of God today and in what you've done in my life and what you can do in people's lives. And therefore, Lord, I trust that you draw somebody to you, whether a closer walk with you as a Christian or somebody that doesn't know you realizes they need to and they can experience that by surrendering themselves and trusting that you paid the penalty for their sins and they can, by faith, believe that and accept it and be transformed. Whatever the situation this morning is, I plead, Lord, that you do what you want to do in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray.